Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is the gospel. So if you want to look back in your bulletin to page 10, I guess it is, you can look at it again because we're going to use what are called the Beatitudes. These are six things that Jesus taught his disciples were supposed to be blessings. This occurs very on in his tenure. He's come back from 40 days in the wilderness. He's come back from his baptism, and he's already picked four of his 12 disciples. But that's as far as he's gone. And then he brings them to a high place, and the crowds follow him, and he teaches them this. These are blessings as far as he's concerned. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit. The people that have been tromped on, the people that have been worked over, the people that can just about move, the ones who just don't have any energy left, the ones who have no strength left, the ones who can barely get up in the morning. I relate to that really well. There's some days when it's almost no point. You get up and you feel like you probably should have stayed there. Blessed are the people who are so dragged down that they really have absolutely nothing left. They have no strength. They have very little hope. And he says, yet theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you look at the way these Beatitudes are written, there's a statement and then there's a comma. And the statement is what's happening now. It's what's happening to us where we are. The stuff beyond the comma is what's going to happen in the end. So the stuff to beginning with may not be something that we really want to take as something we wish to have happen to us, but it does. But beyond the comma is what's going to happen. So even those who are feeling so dragged, so miserable, and so without almost any hope, they will, in the end, receive the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Everybody's gone through some mourning at one time or another, some of us more often than others, some of us more currently than others. But all of us have seen friends, relatives, people we knew well die, leave this earth, go to God. And that's what we're celebrating on All Saints Day. We're trying to remember the people who went before us as an example to us about what we might expect, and also examples in their behavior, what they saw, how they did it, what they perceived, what worked for them, and what they tried to leave us as guidance. Try to learn from the people who were there before. Not always easy. Sometimes we don't learn real well. Sometimes we go through it over and over and over, and it comes out the same every time. As a wise man once said, if you do the same thing you always did, you're going to get the same thing you always got. Sometimes that's what happens to us because though we mourn, we don't learn. And we don't take the help that we could have. Part of the benefit of the church is having people who will help us through our periods of mourning. When you've lost somebody and you've got people around you who know what it's like to do this, and to know where the hope is, they can bring you consideration and help. If nothing else, they can bring you support. And sometimes that's about all you can get, and sometimes that's the best thing to have. Over the years, when I've had the experience of going to funeral homes to do the visitation part before the funeral, I've found that maybe the smartest thing to do is just to shut up and sit down. Just be with them. Because I've heard people say some god-awful things at funerals, especially in funeral homes. Some of the things where if they thought for 30 seconds, they probably wouldn't have said, but they didn't think, and they said it, and the things they said really didn't help. They weren't particularly helpful. Sometimes it just works to be there, just to spend some time and sit with them and help them get through what they've got to get through for the next 12, 24 hours, 48 hours. The first day is the toughest. You've already gone through the separation and death, then you got to get through the funeral. You got to get through what happens after that and start the process of living without that person, the process of mourning. Those who mourn will be comforted. They mourn now, they will be comforted later. We all mourn now, we will all be comforted later. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now there's one that doesn't make much sense. You look at what we're taught, you look at what the kids are taught in school. Are the kids taught in school to be meek? Are they taught to be quiet? Are they taught to take the garbage from somebody else? Are they taught to stand up for themselves and do this kind of thing and always be in charge and always be in front and always be the winners? Being in second place is like kissing your sister. That's the way they teach them. Give me a break. Maybe it wouldn't hurt some of these people to have a little bit of that meek in them instead of all of this, I'm number one, to hell with all of you. Because that's kind of where they at. They want to make sure that everybody knows that they're the first one and everybody better get out of the way. He says, blessed are the meek. Doesn't sound like a blessing. It sure isn't a blessing the way we're taught. But it allows people who have that gift to perceive that, yeah, maybe they're not the strongest, maybe they're not the most beautiful, maybe they don't have everything, but they can see God easier because they don't have the stuff in the way. A lot of times we can't see God so well because we've got all this fog in front of us that destroys our vision. All the things that we're wanting, all the things we're demanding, all the things that haven't worked the way we wanted it to, they get in the way of being able to see God clearly. The meek, who feel nobody owes them anything, that they're not going anywhere except they're going to live from now and they're going to die eventually, they're going to be with God. They see God and they know they have that peace. They do see God for what he is because they don't have this stuff that gets in the way. So maybe they're not so bad off. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. There are some people who are really concerned about what it is that God wants done. They're not so concerned about what D.C. wants done. They're not so concerned about what Albany wants done. And they're not even concerned about what Belmont wants done. I have the least concern for the last one. But they hunger and thirst for righteousness. They want to know what God wants done. Sometimes that's tough to figure out. It's not hard to figure out what we want. It's not hard to figure out what society wants. But you know, it's kind of tough sometimes to figure out what God wants. Seems like he doesn't make it as clear as we'd like him to. So where can we find out what God wants and how he wants it done? And is it a blessing or a curse to try to figure out what it is that God brings? It comes from the scriptures. You want to find out what God wants? Look in there. That's where he teaches it. That's where he reveals it. It's no big secret. It's all there. Just look. Look and see what it says. They will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful. They shall receive mercy. We've all experienced mercy at one time or another. Maybe not when we expected it, but when we needed it. And there may have been times when things really required somebody else to reach out and say, look, there's more to this than just you. You don't have to get through all this by yourself. It's possible for us to help you. It's possible for us to show you mercy as God would have it so that you're buoyed up, so that you survive, so that you can make it through from here to the end. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will be receivers of mercy. So if you've been able to show mercy to somebody else, there's going to be a time when you're going to need it too. You know, people say, well, why should I bother with the church? All they want is my money. My brother-in-law always had a standard comment. I go back to the church when the Pope pays taxes. Well, he knew he was safe. He knew it was never going to happen. So it was an excuse. I'm not going back and nobody's going to make me go back. Well, one of these days he'll die and somebody will want to have a funeral for him, which will have nothing to do with what he believed because I don't know as he did. But, you know, it doesn't work that way. If you had mercy, you may get mercy. We're all going to need it sometime. Blessed are the peacemakers. They're about as popular as the plague. Nobody likes to see the law people come. Nobody likes to see the red and blue lights. Nobody likes to go through the roadblock where they're checking seat belts, stickers, plates, any kind of things that we just assume they didn't know about. Because that's usually when we find out that our out-of-date sticker's there, and, oh, well, now we got to get a fix-it ticket, or we get a ticket. But the peacemakers are the ones who try to put society back together when society's trying to destroy itself. And every so often, it manages to do just that. It doesn't just disintegrate a little bit. It gets on a bend, and it becomes wholly self-destructive. It tries to wipe itself out. And by itself, left alone, it would, and it can, and it has at times. Those who are able to make peace in these situations, those who are able to be the bridge over troubled waters, as the old song goes, they're the ones who help to put things back together, who help to try to get it going in the right direction, to try to rewrite, not necessarily all the wrongs, but rewrite the direction. They shall be called the sons of God. They're not going to be popular. You're a peacemaker. Your job will be to try to keep it together. Don't expect the people you do it for to be very happy with you, because they won't. They aren't. They won't be. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. There are still people in this world who are persecuted for what they believe. We don't see it here, fortunately, but that doesn't mean that can't change in a very short time. The church in this country has not seen persecution, but that can change too in a very short period of time. In other parts of the world, people are persecuted for what they believe, and they're not just shunned, and they're not just taken out. They're actually killed for what they believe. They're actually destroyed for what they believe. God will help them. He says it's a blessing. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. How does that look like a blessing? It says, look, if you understand what righteousness is, that it's the truth, the forgiveness of God, it is the holiness of God that's given to those who believe. If you believe you have that, then nothing can negatively affect you. If you're persecuted even in that and through that, you're still going to make it. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And when others revile and persecute you and so on, we've been through the whole list. Do any of those feel like blessings to you? Look at the thing. You know, the first part is what's happening to you now. The last part's what's going to happen then. And this is what we remember on All Saints Sunday, because we've had people leave us. They were here, now they're not. It's going to happen to all of us at one time or another. We're going to leave this place, and we're going to go to someplace better. We can't control when it happens. We don't know when it's going to happen. Hopefully, we learned from those who went before us. We understand what it's like to be part of God's kingdom and God's people, and we have received mercy, and it allows us to generate it. Help us to understand what it is that God has given us in our relationship to these people who have gone before us, that we remember this day and every other All Saints Sunday, that we may give thanks for their presence among us, and help us to understand the benefit that they bring us from their faith, their understanding, and their actions. Lord, in your mercy we pray. Amen.